you might end up having a pea shooter for that one. Let's go out on a limb, Tony, and say that Ohio State beats Santa Barbara on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's really going out on a limb.
Bong, bong, bong. Good morning.
He persevered and went against his little hex that he had on the team, but
I have to play this thing with my mind, not my heart. My mind said the Celtics will win Game 6 tonight. The Lakers dominate, and they win 89-67.
I love you, Dave. I really do, but you suck at bets.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good morning, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the Big Monday Show. As we speak to you from our studios in West L.A., great to have you with us, privileged to have you. It's great to have you be back here for yet another week here in the city. It's a privilege. I always doing the show. So a couple of things I wanted to bring up before we proceed with our program today, featuring Dan Heck. He is RD in Naples on the MikeFrancesa.com. He'll be joining us today for this program. We have a lot to talk about, and some of it, not all, will be dealing with LeBron James. Jeez. I mean, that guy's been on every podcast I've done for the last 2 weeks. About a break. A little bit of a break. We'll have him up very shortly here in the City Locks of the Week Radio. But first, I wanted to address briefly the death of the longtime Yankees public address announcer, Bob Shepard. He died at the age of 99 this morning. And we all send our condolences to his family and him as well, who obviously is no longer with us. Rest in peace, Bob Shepard. I think most of us here on the West Coast don't know a ton about him because, well, we don't go to Yankee games. It's in New York and that sort of thing. But I think many of us are aware of what he did. He was the voice of Yankee Stadium for half a century. And it doesn't happen by chance. He's a consummate professional and also one who's just managed to maintain a high standard even well into his older age. He also was a big influence on the team in as much as he really brought a sense of credibility and class to the Yankee organization. He really did play a part in that, and it was not a small one. The very image and the very presence of the Yankees as a fabric of the game of baseball is helped in a big way by Bob Shepard. I mean, he's outlasted a lot of people. He's outlasted ownership groups. He's outlasted broadcasters and players. And so, kind of like what we have with Vince Scully here, although he's a play-by-play broadcaster, which is why I didn't bring him up initially, he is as much the face of the team, or really not the face, but in this case, the voice of the team as anybody else. So for him to have left his post about 3 years ago and for him to have died peacefully, I understand, with his family surrounding him, is a very sad day, but also a tribute to what was a wonderful career and a very important part of what makes the game what it is, or what it was, throughout the ages. So Bob Shepard dead today at the age of 99. We all send our best wishes to his family here in the city. All right, so we're here for a good show today. It's the Big Monday Show, and now joining us, direct from Naples, Florida, RD in Naples, Dan Heck, he's here. How are you doing, Dano?
I am great. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm doing well. And, you know, it's this, the first edition of this, of our podcast together, was so popular, we were asked to do a sequel, and, you know, we catered to the demand. Hey,
there you go. Hey, you know, all I can do is try to please the people.
And I think we've done a good job in that realm so far. So, we have a big lot to talk about. You know, the World Cup was a big deal. I'm sure you had a chance to watch that.
Watched the whole game. I was at a friend's house today, but I demanded that, he invited me over, and I demanded I will only show up if I can watch the entire World Cup game. I was there to watch the whole thing from beginning. Both overtimes, the whole thing, every minute, I was there.
Every single minute. So you trudged through it all. And I give you a lot of credit for
it. Now, he did serve a little cheese. Now, eventually, we got out to the grill, and we did some grilling. We did some chicken. We did some flank steak that I put some crazy Dave's Insanity sauce on. We had a little fun out there. But I would not even venture outside to the grill. I didn't do anything until the game was over. I watched the whole 120 minutes. And I think it was actually like 124. I don't know what it was exactly. But I saw the final, this goal, the Spain goal, to finally do it. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, and what we saw, I think, was, well, I guess it's best put as, it's not a model for the game of soccer for FIFA. Would you agree?
Probably not the game they want to put on the website to promote the sport.
No. I mean, it was such an ugly first half. You had people getting left, yellow cards every which way. No rhythm at all to the offense on either side.
I don't even mind. You know what? The yellow cards, do I care? No. I mean, there were probably too many. I mean, it was...
Well, I think they were justified. I mean, I think there is a good reason to give those yellow cards because...
Right. To me, the biggest problem was just it was just not the beautiful game. We want to see some beauty in the game. I think soccer, probably more so than any sport, maybe we see this a little bit in NBA or a little bit in NFL, where we want to see a team that plays pretty. You know, like when the... Now, I grew up... You're a little younger than me, I know that, and so I'm not trying to give you the old Mike Francesa, you know, you didn't see this team and I saw this team. I'm not trying to give you that. But to go back to the first team that I really loved watching play, I don't mean I loved the team, but I loved watching them play, was the old 49ers, the Montana Rice 49ers. And to watch that team play, there was a beauty to it, where whether they won or lost, and they sure as hell won a lot more than they lost, they were just, you couldn't have more fun watching a football game than watching that Niners team. I mean, they were just fun to watch. Montana completed every pass. They caught everything. They were beautiful to watch. They were just a great team. It was just a fun thing to watch.
Oh, and it really revolutionized the game of football at the time. I mean, they were
I think so.
Yeah, I really relied on timing. There were these offenses and schemes. So you see that as a model of how football should be played in the NFL.
Well, I'm not sure. I think there's two different things. I think I'm talking about something different here. There's two different things here. There's the win. I mean, the Giants, the Parcells Giants, they weren't that all that much fun to watch, but they won.
Yeah.
There's that thing, you know, winning ugly or just winning with some defense. Not that, I mean, Lawrence Taylor was a beautiful player to watch, too. I wasn't a Giants fan, but I appreciated as a kid understanding. I mean, I remember my dad pointing to the TV saying, and my dad wasn't a Giants fan. My dad's a Colts fan from Baltimore who disowned the Colts since they left and still feels like a man with no football team. And I remember my dad pointing to the TV and saying, you're never going to see a better football player than that after some Lawrence Taylor play when I was about 12 years old or 13 years old. So, I mean, I remember that stuff, too. But to bring it back around full circle to the soccer, you know, the 49ers, whether they won or didn't win, and they won. I mean, they won. They won a lot. They were pretty to watch. I mean, it was fun to watch. It was a beautiful game, and that's the thing with Brazil. You know, they want to play this beautiful game, and when you see Brazil, you see it. I mean, you see it. You see this beauty. Win or lose, you see this beauty in their style. Spain had some of that earlier in this World Cup. I mean, not the first game that they lost. I think they lost the first game to Switzerland, which is pretty rough by Spanish standards, but Switzerland's not really powerhouse, but still, they were a pretty team to watch throughout. And for that matter, so was the Netherlands. They played a good, nice style. Today was just not the best display of that. I'm sure some of it had to do with nerves. Some of it had to do with the fact that both these teams are good. So if you're playing against a good team, it's harder to look pretty and good playing them. Because the other team is good, and neither one of these teams was a fluke. I think we would both agree on that.
Yeah, I think we absolutely agree. And by the way, this is Dan Heck of Naples, Florida, otherwise known as RD on the MikeFrancesa.com. I'm Dave Medina, and this is the Dave in the City podcast. So we just pretty much wrap up a bow with the World Cup tournament, which has been a very good tournament overall. And I mean, just because of one bad game, you can't dock the whole tournament just because of that. I mean, I hear this guy.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You know, I hear this guy, Adam the Bull, on FAN earlier today, or I guess it would be earlier this evening in the East Coast.
Right.
And he's talking about how the game is boring. Well, now, today's game, yes, it was pretty boring. I mean, I can't argue with that. But overall...
It wasn't the best. But you know what? They had so many good games in this World Cup.
Exactly.
You go by today's game, you're just plain and... You're clueless. Absolutely clueless would be the only way to describe you if you rate this World Cup by today's game.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, speaking of clueless, how about those guys that... You see, how about that... What they have on the air today over there at that station. There's this.
I didn't listen, you know, but let's get back to this one thing real quick, because I think this is an important point. We talk, Dave and I both chat on themikefrancesa.com frequently, and some of the people on that site are big soccer nuts. I won't mention anyone by name, but there are some guys that are really into it, and then there are some guys that are, I guess, anti-soccer, for lack of a better word. And then there's some people that probably don't care, but they don't comment. In other words, they're not rubbing it in anyone's face one way or the other. You know, I think of my good friend Yachts as a classic example of a guy that doesn't really care for the sport, but he's not putting in anyone's face like saying, hey, you know, you guys are morons for wanting to talk about this. And then you just mentioned WFAN. I think WFAN is in an interesting situation here, and I'm using the word interesting rather than another word I possibly could use. They're in an interesting situation, meaning they are not part of the World Cup. ESPN is, and ESPN is their competition, and they are not. They are not carrying it. They have nothing to do with it. Now, Mike Francesa, the guy we listen to and the guy we talk about on themikefrancesa.com, is of course not into the World Cup. Mike is really not into any sport except for Yankee baseball, and that might even be giving him too much credit. He doesn't really follow sports anymore. He follows them on a very, very marginal way. I have friends that don't even really follow sports that hard, but may follow one sport, and they know more about that one sport than Mike Francesa does. So, and this is a guy that's on the radio that makes millions and millions of dollars to be on the radio and talk sports.
You know, you just got to look around, man. You look around and look at what's gripping the sports fan right now. And, you know, one of those things, obviously, is LeBron James, and he's gripping America. He's gripping the basketball universe at this point.
Right.
Even with his act, even with his antics, you got to admit, he's getting our attention. And...
So I guess it's time for us to move on to topic.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, I was at the gym the next morning, and I knew... Now, the night that it happened, I worked. I was at work. I was playing music, and my friend who comes and sits in with us sometimes because he wants a little experience playing saxophone, and he's a good buddy of mine. I let him come and sit in, and he's a great, great friend, great guy, scratch golfer. So he's got me out on the golf course a few times, and he has an iPhone. And about 9:15, I said, "Hey, hit that iPhone. Let me know. We're out there playing music." I said, "Hit that iPhone." I said, "Let me see, where did LeBron sign?" "No, nothing yet." I said, "Oh, they said it was going to be in the first 10 minutes. I said, "Nothing." "All right." So 5 minutes, 10 minutes goes by, play another two tunes. I said, "Hey, man, hit that iPhone." He said, "Nothing. It says nothing. They got nothing yet." I said, "At least it's going to be first 10 minutes. So about 9:35, he goes, "Well, Miami." All right. So I said, "Well, you know, now this is actually pretty good to me, to my," and I thought about this a lot because I was thinking about this podcast tonight. I thought about this a lot. If he had not done this dog and pony show and he had just announced it, where would we be? And I happened to be a good sort of test case. I didn't see the dog and pony show at first. I was at work. I knew there was the dog and pony show. I knew there was this big ridiculous special. But I was just at work, and I was asking my friend to look on this because, you know, as a Knicks fan, you know, part of you says, "Oh, I hope he's with the Knicks," although part of me was kind of hoping maybe not because this is going to be ridiculous. But at the same time, he can't help. He's a great player. So, you know, I just got the news. He went to Miami. So getting that news, I thought, that's kind of what I expected. That's too bad for Cleveland. The one thing that went through my mind was, well, that's pretty rough for Cleveland. He held this whole special and went to Miami. All right, so that's how I left it. Now, I get home that night, and I put on the news or whatever it was. I forget it. But I don't know if it was the night or the next day. I think it was that night, though. I put on some ESPN news, and I see a clip of him. and I see the clip of him with the lip quivering, and I see this, and I said, oh my God, you know, I thought it was kind of bad hearing it, just hearing it like straight news, like as if it was off a wire. He goes to Miami.
Right.
I thought that was kind of bad. Kind of bad. Just because of the Cleveland aspect. But then, you know, a couple hours later, I get home from work and I see this and I say, man, this is more than bad. This is horrible. I mean, that is horrible what he just did. He made this big show to stick it to the city of Cleveland. I mean, and again, you know, my cousin I spoke with who says, oh, Cleveland should be happy with the years they got from him. He owes them nothing. And I can understand that point of view a little bit. But to do this special and then to stick it to these people with the special. I mean, I remember when the Sonics left Seattle, how much I felt. Now, I wasn't even living in Seattle then. I had lived there during some great Sonic years, the 90s, which were great Sonic years. And I was a Sonics fan. But I wasn't living there when they left. I was living down here. So I'm going to admit that it's not going to cut as close as it would cut to, like, someone living there, a season ticket holder, let's say, that living there. That person, it hurt more than it hurts me. No question. But I thought to, like, that moment when the Sonics left and thought, like, oh, man, imagine if they left, but they did a big press conference.
Oh.
Where they said maybe we'll stay in Seattle, maybe we'll move, and they did this big show, and then they said I choose to go to, and you know maybe they used Kevin Durant as like the face of the franchise, and have Kevin Durant say we're moving to Oklahoma City. I'm taking my skills to Oklahoma. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine anybody wanting to do something like that. It's bizarre. It reeks of immaturity. It reeks of horrible advice. It reeks of lack of education. It reeks of just not being that smart.
Yeah, no,
that's really where it ends for me with LeBron. Is I guess what I've really come to find, just as a you know, I'm not trying to be any kind of expert. I'm just like anybody else watching, just watching it on TV. And I'll admit, I didn't even watch that whole stupid thing live. I just saw the clips the next day.
Yeah.
And it just strikes me that the man is not that smart.
That, I mean, that's a very good observation. And I agree with you on that, too, because, you know, it's just common sense. You know, you're going to go on national TV. The people of Cleveland are watching. How about a little respect for your former hometown base?
Tiny bit.
Yeah, tiny bit. Tiny bit. And I mean, I've made this clear.
I mean, you couldn't even leave. I mean, you can leave even.
And that's not even the problem. It's not him leaving. It's just the way that he did it.
It's ugly in every way. I mean, it's going to sound like I'm some kind of scorn lover here, and I'm not trying to be that. But it just so happens that I lived through Daryl Strawberry leaving for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I was there. I was a Mets fan. And I was there when that happened. I was living in New York, and I was there, and Daryl went to the Dodgers. I was living in Seattle in, I think it was 2000 or 99, when Griffey declared that he wanted to go back home. Now, this was him going home, not leaving home, going home.
Yeah.
He wanted to go to Cincinnati and force the Mariners to make a trade. Surprisingly, I was just thinking about it this morning. Can you believe Pokey Reese was the big guy in that trade?
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
Didn't want to part with Pokey Reese.
I remember that.
And looking back, how funny is that Pokey Reese was the guy that held up that trade for about a month?
That is too funny.
That's just a side note. But I remember A-Rod promising the Mariners that he would give them the benefit of the doubt and give them every chance to compete, and then signing with the Rangers for $252 million, which the Mariners probably took five years at that time for the Mariners to make that kind of money. And he signed with them for that and claimed that he was going to give the Mariners a fair shot. I lived through all of that stuff. And I'm not trying to be a martyr here or anything or make it like it's so horrible. I mean, it's sports. It's not life. It's sports, you know. People have parents die and siblings die. That's, you know, we're talking about a little Mariner, a little guy leaving a team. It's not the end of the world. But when Griffey left, as bad as it was, you felt the sense of like, well, he's tired of all this plane travel. Seattle travels more miles and by the All-Star break than most teams travel in the whole year. His neighbor, Payne Stewart, had just died in that horrible plane crash. He's freaked out. He wants to go back home. As much as it pisses us off, you got to live with it. God bless the guy. And then A-Rod, it was brutal. I hated it. I hated what A-Rod did. I was never so disgusted at an athlete taking that money, that ridiculous money, and leaving his team. But, you know, as bad as that was, he knew he was kind of a jerk. And then the team won 116 games right after.
Yep.
Because it was almost like putting it in his face. I loved people in Seattle chanting to A-Rod when they came into town, how does it look from 20 games back? there was something beautiful about it, about A-Rod leaving, but he wasn't from Seattle, you know? And we knew that A-Rod was this great player and he was going to leave. And, you know, I mean, it was rough. I'm not going to give A-Rod a pass here and for the sake of LeBron. I think A-Rod and LeBron are probably about the same in terms of pariahs. But I guess the thing that really makes it rough here is A-Rod wasn't from Seattle.
That's the difference. I don't see the same scenario with LeBron James because...
I don't think LeBron necessarily owed Cleveland staying.
Uh-huh.
I think he owed them a better treatment if he was going to leave. I guess that's really where the issue is.
Yeah.
Now, if it was me and I was LeBron... I was talking with a friend tonight. Think of it like this. Larry Bird, there was a time, right? Now, you forgive me. I don't recall. I wasn't following the NBA that hard. Forgive me. But there was a time, right, where Larry Bird's contract was about to expire in Boston at some point. That had to have been at some point Larry had a contract coming up. Now, Larry Bird, can you imagine how many points Larry Bird would have scored had Magic Johnson been his point guard?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, let's just say for a second that Larry Bird thought the way LeBron is thinking just recently. And Larry said, you know what? I could win a lot of championships. And for that matter, L.A. is way nicer than Boston. And trust me, Dave, I lived in Boston for 4 years while I was in college. And I've been in L.A. on, I would guess, 20 times I've spent more than one day in L.A. So I've spent 50 or 60 days in the city of L.A. minimum in my life. I've spent a lot of time there. L.A., although the traffic is a disaster and there are other problems, L.A. and Boston, you can't compare the two in terms of comfort. L.A. is a much nicer place to live. So let's just say for a second that Larry Bird, at one point, his contract had to be expiring at some point, right? I mean, every player's contract was expiring at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I will guarantee you right now, the thought to join Magic in L.A. never occurred to Larry Bird.
No, it never would have occurred.
Even crossed his mind.
Not even once. You know, you have a legacy. You have a legacy that you need to preserve. You have a rivalry. You have a rivalry with one of the greatest players who've ever played the game.
What's the best thing about Magic Bird? The rivalry.
Yes.
How many rings did Magic win?
5.
How many rings did Bird win?
3.
How many? Wait, is it 3? I thought it was 2. Is it 3, Bird?
3, 81, 86, and 84.
Oh, good for you, boy. I thought it was 2. All right, so 3. My bad. I apologize to all the people at TMF.
Oh, no worries, no worries, no worries.
Fun of me tomorrow?
No, it's okay.
Rings wrong?
That will not happen. No, it's
not. But it doesn't matter. Here's the point. How many could Bird and Magic have won if Bird, after about his first, I don't know, guess after his first contract, which is probably 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, if he would have said, I am not re-upping here, I am going to go and play with Magic Johnson and win 20 titles.
Yeah.
First of all,
well, that was not
the titles they would have won would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. That, I
First
think
of all, both of their legacies, even Magic's, I think, although maybe not Magic's as much as Bird's, both legacies, I think, would have been diminished because we would look at them now as these guys that didn't want to go head to head, but needed to join forces. And Bird, although maybe not the champion that some of these all-time greats, Bill Russell, Kareem, people like that, although he wouldn't have that number, although he might have that, you know, that number of championships having gone there, you would think of him as sort of a fraud for having joined the enemy. You don't join the enemy.
No, you don't. It's just not. It doesn't sit well. It's not. I mean, not only the ethical issues, but it just isn't common sense to do. It's just too many things can go wrong. Chemistry issues. You had a good thing going. Going back to Bird for a second, which there's another reason why it wouldn't have happened is because he had already had a pretty good team around him. But
well, he did. That's true. That's very true.
He had a great team around him in '86.
I mean, I just don't think the greats do that. Let's say Jordan had been on those Bulls teams, and let's say the Pistons had been a little younger and a little stronger. Would Jordan have left after a couple of times trying to fight them off and said, "Oh, I'm going to go join Isaiah and Lambeer and all those guys and play with that team"? You know, would Jordan have done that? I think Jordan would have rather lose 20 Eastern Conference championships in a row then join the Isaiah Thomas Pistons.
Yeah.
Now, Kobe is a great example of a guy with a crazy, crazy, you want to talk about a crazy up and down in terms of public perception of him career, probably more so than anyone ever lived in terms of public perception. He's gone from Golden Boy, Bad Boy, Golden Boy, Bad Boy, hate him, love him. I mean, in the sport, probably as much as anyone that's ever lived. Now, look at Kobe. Let's just say for a second that Kobe Bryant did first of all, I don't think Kobe's capable of it. I don't think Kobe's capable
of it. He's a winner, Dano. He's a winner. He cares about winning. That's the difference, though.
So this is, say you win me championships, I'll come to your place, and we can win together. Kobe is an alpha dog.
Yeah. He absolutely is.
Maybe LeBron just isn't an alpha dog, and maybe it's our bad for thinking that he was. To call this thing a joke that he just did is not even, that's not even selling it enough for how much of a joke it was.
It really was. Now, Dan, did you see that party they did on Friday?
Oh, my God.
That was the worst.
Clips of that? Dave, I saw short clips of that. I mean, the thing where he said, like, we're not winning one ring, winning two. And he went, what did he go up to, like, seven? We're not here for seven rings.
Yeah.
So basically what he's saying is he's there for eight or more rings. I would make fun of that, but I can't even make fun of that. I mean, it's too easy to make fun. How can I even make fun of that? Like, he literally said, I didn't come to Miami to win no rings or one. No, he said, I didn't come to win one ring. I came to win multiple rings. And then they started saying numbers. And I think he went all the way to eight before, or seven before.
No, he went to eight. I remember him going to eight.
So he said, did he say not eight?
I don't think he said not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. I think he went to not seven, so that implies
not
eight.
Not seven. I think the tops was not seven. So basically what he's saying is he didn't come to Miami to win only seven rings.
Oh, boy.
He came to win eight as a minimum. That's the kind of stuff where I don't even really want to make fun of that, because it's too. That's just beyond where it's even. It's a joke to make fun of that.
It is a literal joke. I thought this was a parody. It didn't even seem real to me when I saw that on Friday.
They looked so stupid.
They did.
They looked so stupid talking about that stuff that you actually, as unbelievable as it is, because of course you hate them.
Yeah.
Actually feel bad for those three guys for a moment there.
Yeah, it's not
actually feel pity for
them. A little
bit.
I can
see
that.
Only for how stupid they look.
Yeah.
At one moment, you're like, my God, you guys don't even know how freaking stupid you look. It's true, though.
It is.
You look so stupid. And, you know, like, my mom used to say this a lot. She's like, you know, It's always in, you know, my mom used to say, like, well, what you think is what you think, and, you know, you can have your own little thing, and then there's what the world thinks. But as long as you're really sure about what you think, then you're okay. Like, you know, work hard, be right, be good, do your thing, and you'll always be right. And I love that philosophy. Like, just work really hard, believe in yourself, do everything you're supposed to do, and in the end, you will always be right if you go that route. You know, just work your ass off and don't compromise and all that. I love that. I love that. But these guys, I think they got that message too much to where they're now total clowns that think that they worked hard and did right, and now they're just total clowns, and everyone thinks that they're idiots. You know what I mean? The idea that if you believe in yourself, it always ends up okay. You know, it's a great concept, but when you take it to what these three idiots are doing, and I don't even want to say these three idiots, because Wade and Bosch, good for them. They should go to Miami. Wade's played in Miami. He should stay there. Wade doesn't have anything to apologize
for. No, Wade's won a championship, no less. So
he won a championship.
That's his team.
A team that had no right to win one.
Oh, yes. Oh, you are right. No right to win a championship whatsoever.
Actually, you could make a pretty good case that they didn't win one. You could make a pretty good case that Dallas lost one.
That's right. I would say so. I would absolutely agree with that. Well, Dallas with the aid of Bennett Salvatore and company. I've been through this.
Yeah, and then you get into the whole, you know, these referees. We don't even want to get, that's a podcast for another day.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
You want to get into referee stuff? No, not today. We don't want to do that today.
No, that could be 2 hours.
But the point is, you know, Wade did win a championship long before LeBron ever showed up there.
Yep.
And, you know, from here on out, every championship LeBron wins in Miami, which I hope is zero. But if it is, but you know, if he does win one or if he does win two, they're jaded. They're Dwayne Wade's second and third championships, and LeBron's the sideman, or at least I hope so.
I think that's how I look at it. I mean, you cannot think of this as LeBron's team.
Nope.
It's Wade's team.
Nope. And I love that the guy on. I think I said this earlier in the podcast, but I love that guy on Bill Simmons, who wrote to him about the smart guys. He said, you know, Dwayne Wade, 3 years in college. Chris Bosh, 1 year in college. LeBron James, no years in college. This is an infomercial for stay in school, folks.
Yep.
The smart guy got the two dumb guys to come to his team and join him. I love that. It's perfect, because that's exactly what it is. Dwayne Wade, the older guy, the guy that went to school, got the two dummies to come join him. And you know, call LeBron. LeBron, you might want to say, you know, he's smartly, you know, he's dumb like a fox or whatever, fine. But you know what? LeBron James, they built a whole team around him in Cleveland. They catered to his every freaking need. And what did he do? He not only shat on them and left them in a lurch, but he goes to the place with the other superstar that won a championship, and now is the Robin to Dwayne Wade's Batman.
Yeah, I think
it's horrible.
It's horrible. I mean, and make it worse, it's not. And it would have been fine maybe if they assembled, let's say, in New York, where they have a mission, they have something to prove. They're going to Miami.
At least in New York, it's been in shambles for forever. You could make a case like, geez, these people need it as bad as Cleveland. I'm not sure that case is legit when you have teams like the Yankees, the Mets, and the Jets, and the Giants. Well, I shouldn't say Mets and Jets. I should say Giants, Yankees and Giants. But the point is, you know, at least they'd be going and building something in New York. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, so I know that I'm a little biased. But you know what? To be quite honest, I think if he goes to the Knicks and does it with this same stupid one-hour special where he disses, Cleveland, I think it's basically as bad. The only thing about Miami that makes it worse is that he's going there with this whole dream team vibe.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to win everything, and then rattles off the not five, not six, not seven. I mean, when you start doing that about, when you haven't won any championships, and you're saying that you're in town to not win five, not win six, You look like a clown.
You really do. My only hope is that maybe he was talking about games and not championships.
Well, I mean, Kobe Bryant. How many championships Kobe Bryant win now? Five.
Well, he's got to be up to five now.
Five, right?
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. You hear Kobe Bryant going six, seven, eight, not seven, not eight, not nine. No. But he already has five, and he doesn't talk that stupid.
Exactly, exactly.
And he's a guy that has none, has done nothing, and he's saying not four, not five, not six. I mean, it's so arrogant, it's so lousy, everything about it is wrong, and as a sports fan, all it can do is hurt your faith in sports and everything that is right. I mean, It sounds like I'm going too far when I say that, but it's really true. As a sports fan, this was a really low point for a sport. You know, I'm a sports fan. I'm not a Mets fan. I am a Mets fan, of course, but I'm not a Mets fan as much as I'm an all-around. I love sports. I love to follow sports. I follow this stupid World Cup thing. I don't know any of the guys or teams or players. I followed it. You know, I'm a football fan. I'm a baseball fan. I'm everything. I just love sports. And my wife gives me a hard time. It's hard for me to follow sports. I'm a musician. It's not the easiest thing for me to do, yet I still do it. I love to follow sports. And then this thing, something like this happens, and you know, I hate to say, it sounds mean to say this or weird to say this. It makes me embarrassed to follow sports.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like other people, when I say, oh, I'm a big sports fan, look at me like, you're a big fan of that garbage? You're a big fan of that crap where some clown can hold the one-hour special and go to Miami and screw a whole city over? You're a fan of that? That's what you're a fan of? And a part of me doesn't even know how to defend that. Like, I want to go like, you know what? I am a clown for following this garbage. Why would I follow a league where that can happen? That's only a moron would follow a league where that can happen. You know, only a moron would follow a league where the Yankees can, and we should get to the Cliff Lee thing, I know we want to talk about that. Only a moron would follow a sport where the Yankees, with the best pitching staff in baseball, can trade for Cliff Lee. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the stuff in sports that makes you go, ugh, ugh, jeez, why? You know, ugh. And so, I guess that's a good segue over to the... We wanted to do a little Yankees.
You did the segue for me, and you know, that trade, that potential trade of the Yankees...
On trade, it ended up being, but...
Right, that's true. You know, Cliff Lee was a big deal last season. He went to the Phillies. This season, it was going to be a lot of possibilities. But when I heard the concept of the Yankees even possibly making the trade, it made me really squirm, and I'm sure it made you squirm too. And I know they're sending Miguel Montero... And I know that in a way, it probably would have worked out for Seattle pretty well, because you guys need hitting. You know, it's pretty obvious.
Well, I guess the lesson always, and you should always remember this, mm-hmm. Never underestimate the greed/ability for the Yankees to completely dominate baseball. I mean, you know, people will say, well, the rules... don't prohibit them from doing these things, and I completely agree with those people. The rules do not prohibit them from doing whatever they want to do. I would just think, as a fan, at some point it would get to be kind of silly. I mean,
yeah.
If I was a Yankee fan, now I'm full disclosure here. My father is an Oriole fan, so I grew up in a house with my grandfather, who was a Brooklyn Dodger fan/Yankee hater, who is rooting for the Mets, who hated the Yankees with the worst passion ever, and a father who's an Oriole fan who hates the Yankees with, you know, so I grew up with such Yankee hatred in the house. So, I mean, I know that I'm not fair. I'm not trying to even remotely be fair or, unbiased about this. I know that I'm not. But I just would think at some point, as a fan of a team, if you just stockpile all the great players in the sport, it would become comical for you to root for the team. Like, let's just say, for the standpoint, like, Yankee fans will say, well, it's fair, you know, they're not breaking the rules.
No, but this, in this case, many Yankee fans were against this trade. They've not for two reasons. They didn't want Montero to go.
Credit where credit is due. You're absolutely
right. I mean, they said this is overkill. And when you get the Yankee fans to say that, it just goes to show you how just unbelievably out of control. I don't know what the word overkill. I mean, what overkill this
overkill,
was.
I mean, that's the right word, overkill. I mean, Francesa. I mean, do you think of Francesa as a completely unbiased Yankee fan?
No,
I don't.
No, right.
And he thought it was complete overkill. I mean, it comes to a point where, you know, you say, I used to joke with a friend of mine in New York that lived, he lived next door to me. He's great, I'm a jazz musician, and he was a jazz trumpet player. One of the only guys I met in my whole life, he had a Grammy? Is the Grammys the music? Yeah, it's Grammy. He had a Grammy Award. For a Tito Puente record he had played on. And he was a great Latin jazz trumpet player. Funny guy, great guy, big Yankee fan. And at one point I said to him, I said, well, why don't we just do this? I said, how about this? At the All-Star break, the AL All-Star team, they all become Yankees. And you just send the teams that lost their players, you know, you just send some players to make up for the players' love. And he said, that would be good. I would like that.
Oh, boy.
I said, well, there you go. That's why you're a Yankee fan and I'm a Mets fan. I wouldn't want that. I think that would be a joke. And you think that would be good. He said, no, that would be good. I would like. I said, how about you get Pujols? Or you could have Teixeira, because he's a good defensive first baseman. You could have Teixeira, like, play first base, and then you could pinch hit Pujols for him. You know, or maybe Pujols could be the DH because it's the AL. You know, who's the best, you know, you know, you got Jeter at short, but, you know, there are better shortstops now. So you could, you know, pick up the best shortstop in baseball. And you could pick up, you know, maybe, I mean, you know, Josh Hamilton's a good player. You might want to put him in that outfield. I mean, he's pretty good. And, you know, just all the great players.
Yeah.
I mean, and then when you win, what is it? You know, the captain, our buddy on TMF.com, the captain always says, like, he doesn't like the term shallow or championships, or I forget what the word was, hollow. I think it was hollow championships. But really, at what point do they become hollow? I mean, how many superstars? I mean, if you had the five best pitchers in baseball and the eight best position players in baseball, and you put that team on the field, and you won a championship, there's no hollowness to that? I mean, it becomes a joke, right?
It really does. I mean, you know,
remember, baseball is different, and that's the thing that sucks.
Yeah.
You can put in a great left-handed hitter who plays third base into your lineup, and guess what? He doesn't screw up the fast break, and he doesn't screw up your post-up game, and he doesn't screw up your triangle offense, and he doesn't screw up any of that. Baseball is the one sport where you can stockpile superstars, and guess what? They're all going to play like superstars. It doesn't matter if the other guy hits like this, or hits left-handed, or is a doubles hitter, or triples hitter, or whatever the hell thing you want to come up with. In basketball, you have to play as a team all the time. You're on the floor, you're passing the ball around, you're running breaks, or you're not running breaks because it's Shaq is on your team, and if you run the break, you're 4-on-5. You know, baseball is different. You can add a Shaq in baseball. You take a Shaq in baseball. You know what Shaq is in baseball? In baseball, Shaq is Mark McGwire. You put him on a team and he hits 50 home runs, and it doesn't fuck anything up. In basketball, you take a Shaq, and if you're trying to run a fast break like Phoenix was, it totally destroys everything you're trying to accomplish. So that's the thing about baseball. You can compile a Yankee kind of team. You could put a Pujols on this team. Would it screw up the Yankees if they had Pujols and Josh Hamilton and whatever other dudes, you know, Vladimir Guerrero? You could bring in all the all-stars you want. Would it screw them up? Nope. It's not going to screw up their fast break that Vladimir Guerrero can't run anymore or play the outfield?
No, I think they're... That's the funny thing. It's such an isolationist sport, I guess is what you could say about baseball. By the way, this is Dan Heck. He's coming to us here from Naples, Florida after, you know, quite a busy week. I heard you were involved in a very nice gig the other day. It was a packed house,
last
I understand.
Last night. And it was Saturday night. It's my new band. And thanks for mentioning that, Dave.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I've been down here for a long time and done a lot of work playing a lot of music for my living, 5, 6, even 7 nights a week for 5 years now. And my band last night was a thing I put together a couple months ago. Keyboard player in town who's probably one of the most prominent musicians down here in Naples was finally available a little bit more than he had been, and he's always wanted to do more stuff with me, and that's, you know, I'm very appreciative of that. And you know, we finally got a thing together. We actually rehearsed a little bit, which is unheard of for guys like us that are so busy. We know all the same tunes generally, so we don't rehearse much, or we just go on gigs together. And we put a little band together. We have this great drummer that moved down here recently, and we said, let's put a little trio together, and it's a trio in the style that I played in Seattle with my band, band I had in Seattle. And last night was our premiere gig, and we really, it was unbelievable. It was as good as I could have envisioned it being. It was better than that. I mean, we had a line out the door. People were told they couldn't get in. Which, you know, you hate for that to happen, but, you know, the fact that it was that full where people couldn't get in, and the crowd was so on our side from the get-go, and we had just a fantastic night. So, so thanks for mentioning it. It's a new group, and hopefully we can bring a little more of a modern jazz, funky, groovy, kind of, little more fun, kind of younger. You know, here I am in Southwest Florida. It's a hard place to play music for younger people. It's true. I mean, it's a battle you fight, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit down here. But, we put on a presentation last night, I think, that really turned a lot of people's heads and made people think, like, yeah, you know, you can present older, you know, that kind of music for a little bit of a younger crowd. And we brought in a little younger crowd, and I think if we do it again, and we are going to do it some more times, we don't want to overexpose ourselves. We want to do a, you know, like a one thing a month kind of thing. Keep it as a special event. But anyway, it was really a good night, and it's one of the things I probably in my 5 years in Naples, one of the things I'm most proud of was last night. So I'll leave it at that. But thanks for mentioning it. It really was a fun night.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And so back to the subject of sports now again. You know, baseball is now going to be basically the subject of discussion for the next couple of days. One problem.
Indeed.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be great, but one problem, we're going to be on a bit of a lull this week in baseball. We have the All-Star game, and then that dreaded day after the All-Star game. What do you do in that day?
The worst day in the sports year. Right, you know. We can chat on the board a little bit. Hey, for all you people out there listening, you can go to themikefrancesa.com and you can go and chat about different sports issues, even though there's no games, and, you know, have a little fun. I think I started a new thread today. It was called, did you see, you posted on it, I think.
I did. It was the, wouldn't it be great
how good,
if.
How good would this be?
Yeah.
How good would it be? And, you know, you could post anything on there. You could say, like, you know, how good would it be if the Dodgers were to win every game for the rest of the year and never lose again and win a World Series? I mean, you could just post that, and that would be beautiful. You know, you could do your little, like, you know, whatever team you root for, you could just say that. Or, like, I said in the setup, you know, it could be, like, anything fictional. And my first one that I posted, like, was that. Now, I don't root for injury, but this is really about rooting for injury. This is about because I'm trying to find the perfect LeBron scenario. To me, the perfect LeBron, because, you know, you could root for LeBron to get hurt, but what good is that? You don't want LeBron to get hurt. What you want, and this is what I posted, I said, if Dwayne Wade were to get hurt, and I'm not rooting for him to get hurt, I like Dwayne Wade, I have nothing against Dwayne Wade, But the idea, like, if Dwayne Wade were to get hurt, and then LeBron and Bosh were to get to, like, the, and let's say Dwayne got hurt, but he got hurt a little, and he got hurt a little more, and then Wade came back a little, and he had knee surgery, then another knee surgery, and then two more knee surgery, you know, like, he just never was right again. And then, you know, LeBron gets to, like, the second round and loses, and the first round the next year and loses. And second round and loses. And, like, if, like, the next 4 or 5 years LeBron were to lose in, like, the first or second round every year with Bosh and a couple of role players or whatever, like, that would make me happy. It sounds horrible, but, I mean, that would make me happy, you know? Like, there's oil spewing out in the Gulf of Mexico, and I live in the Gulf of Mexico, and I love, and I hate this, and I hate the oil spills, and I hate the oil drilling in the water and all that, and I, you know, but, like, I would get over on, like, almost all of that if those things were to happen, and my life would be, like, okay, you know, like, I want LeBron to, like, fail, like, it's fun, it's sports, though, it's sports fun. Do I really want someone like Dwayne Wade to be injured and hurt?
No, of course not.
No, I don't wish pain on anybody. This is all sports. We're talking about, you know, what is it Steve Summers always says? You know, this is the candy aisle.
Yep.
You know, we're having a little fun.
It's just a game. It's all in good fun. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I mean, the only difference is that where are you in terms of the betterment of competition? Is it for the betterment of the sport? And I guess with LeBron, we've come to a crossroads where he's taking a path where basically he's more concerned about his personal, I don't know, image. And it's not even about winning. You know, he can say it's about winning. BS. It's not about winning. If it was really about winning, he'd have joined the Bulls because I think they have a better team for him.
You know what? That's a good point. Is it really about winning? Is it about being with his buddies?
It's about being with his buddies, I think. You know, my friend
Probably.
Jake Rosales.
It's bizarre. Dave,
it is.
It's bizarre, man. I mean, if it was really about winning, he could take the mid-level exception and go to the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he could win a bunch of them there. I mean, so, I don't know. It's bizarre. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I think the one thing we, and I said this earlier in the podcast, and I'll say it again, I think the whole thing happened, this disaster from a PR standpoint happened, and I think you can only leave with one impression, and that impression is, this guy is dumb.
He's not very smart, and the best thing of all about this, if there is a silver lining, it has united almost 100% of basketball fans against the Heat.
And you know what? Your Lakers, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want to bring...
Look. Everybody hates the Lakers. It's a known factoid.
No, fine.
It's no biggie.
This last season,
yeah,
a particular poster on TMF.com...
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
...posted that the Lakers would definitely win the championship.
Yeah.
Because why even... His point was... Now, I still stick by my point, because his point was, why even watch any basketball? Because it's just a given that the Lakers would win. Now, at this point, I was the belief, and don't get me wrong, I am openly admitting that I am a clown. I thought, at that time, that Cleveland was going to be the team. And if they didn't win it, I thought Orlando was really strong. But I thought one of those teams would beat the Lakers. I really did.
You were right in thinking that.
I didn't think Boston was even in the mix.
Yeah, I absolutely think that you're right to think that. And the thing about Boston is fair.
Cleveland was really good at that time. I mean, I wasn't crazy to think that. A lot of people thought that.
Yeah, it's not like you were really going out on a limb saying, oh, Cleveland with 60 wins is going to win the championship. They really should have.
It wasn't like I was busting out freaking Atlanta on this. Oh, my God, Atlanta's going to win it all, and I'm betting every... I mean... I thought Cleveland legitimately had a good chance to not only win the East, but to beat the Lakers. Now, in retrospect, I look like a clown. And I will openly, anyone listening to this podcast right now on TMF.com, you want to call me a clown, go ahead. You want to post a little clown car, go ahead, have your little fun. I'm a clown, and I will accept that. But this other clown, otherwise known as Repercussions, he said it's a given. I don't know why you even watch the NBA. It's a given the Lakers will win. Now, this was before the Lakers. The Lakers were struggling with Oak City at this point.
Yep.
Who I despise because they ripped off the Sonics. Not them. I shouldn't despise the team. I should just despise the ownership. And I think next year what I'm going to have to do is find my way, because I really do like Kevin Durant. And I think I'm really going to have to find my way to enjoy watching that team and liking that team and get over the fact that I hate Clay Bennett and just get over, you know, just get over it. Just, I had my year of hatred and get over it. We'll see how that works out. But anyway, here the Lakers are struggling with them. And this clown comes on and he says, there's no way any team other than the Lakers win the championship. So I do an Avatar bet. And I say, dude, I'll bet you right now, Avatar bet, that the Lakers don't win the championship. Now, the Lakers did win the championship, and I had my little A-Rod Avatar for a week. So good job out of him for being right, and bad job out of me. And good job out of me for you know, putting the Avatar on and doing what needed to do. But at the same time, I really, really, the point of this story is I really, really thought Cleveland put a freaking team together. And I think most of us did, right?
Yeah, I did. I certainly did. We were all
thought so, right?
Am I crazy? Absolutely. That's the lasting impression of that playoff season. It just seemed like they were a much better team than they showed.
You know, one of the things that Bill Simmons' readers pointed out in this, you know, these emails he got, is a couple people saying, and maybe they've got a good point, you know, is LeBron is just not the guy that wants to lead a team. He needs someone else to lead a team. Let him be the number two banana, and then he's going to be good. And you know what? Maybe it's our fault for expecting more than that. You know, maybe we should allow people to be whatever they are, you know? Hey, I want to be a second banana. All right, you want to be a second banana? Good for you. You could be.
Wait a minute. It's fine for him to be a second banana. I have no problem with that. But if you're going to want the same publicity and a freaking one-hour special dedicated to you, you can't be a second banana.
He made himself into it.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. I mean, he just takes over and he starts dropping little hints. Oh, I'm going to make a Twitter page today and post one post.
Right.
That does not sound like the ramblings of a second banana.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
He wants the publicity of a first banana and the responsibilities of a second banana. We'll see. I mean, we're going to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, to call this guy a clown is to not be fair to plain regular clowns out there these days. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. This guy has taken clownness to a whole new level. He deserves no respect from anybody in sports. Guys like Michael Jordan have to be laughing. He made Kobe Bryant into a loved athlete, which is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, and I was never an anti. I never hated. Like, I know. I was rooting for the Lakers with you because of my Avatar bet last year, and you were guys. You guys embraced me as a Laker fan, and I appreciated that. You guys were all on my side as a big, you know,
it
the
was
phony.
A...
I was the phony. You knew I was half-hearted.
Hey, that's no problem. It was a glorious week anyway.
Right? Yeah, you guys had your fun, and then you won anyway. So what do you care? The idea that I'd root for the Lakers was sad, you know, in a way that I would ever root for the team. And I'm a Knicks fan. It's not like I'm a Celtics fan where I have a rivalry with the Lakers. Then I would wish as a Knicks fan, you could only wish that you would have a rivalry with the Lakers. That would be a Knicks fan greatest dream. If you said, Dan, give me, as a Knicks fan, what's your dream as a Knicks fan? If I could, As a Knicks fan, my dream would be that we actually could have a rivalry with the friggin' Lakers, which means we'd make it to a finals once in a while, because you can't have a rivalry unless you get there once in a while. So I would love that. That would be my greatest dream as a Knicks fan, would be to have that. But, you know, it's not going to happen. Whatever. You know, we're not getting to the finals next year. It's okay. But to go back to LeBron, you know, this guy has made it where if his team is facing, I don't care, you pick the team. He's playing the Celtics, I'm a Celtics fan. He's playing the Hawks, I'm a Hawks fan. He's playing what other team in the Eastern Conference could he face? Cavaliers? I'm a Cavaliers fan.
My God.
Yeah, I guess he's not going to face the Cavaliers. That's unlikely. When he gets into the finals, if he's playing the Celtics, I will buy a freaking Celtics t-shirt and wear it over my head. And I will post on TMF.com with a Lakers avatar. And I'm not even kidding. I will root for the Lakers like it's my favorite team ever if this clown trio ever gets. And that's how, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
That I feel like that.
I mean, you're not alone. I mean,
I'm
everybody.
I'm not sure that I'm even that passionate compared to a lot of people, like Cleveland fans and other people. You know, this is just me talking on a whim, you know, talking to you on your podcast. But, you know, Lakers fans, and I mean, Cleveland fans and LeBron fans, I can't even imagine how hard it is for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy Lakers. Oh, God. I don't even know. I can't even imagine how rough it is for those people. I mean, I guess they got to just get over it and move on with their lives, but...
Well, it's especially hard for Cleveland, because even in our case, where, let's say, when Shaq left back in 04, you can't even have that much sympathy for Laker fans in that situation, because... Or even when Mike Piazza got traded in 1998. He got traded in 1998. That was a very dark day in LA sports.
I bet that was.
But even that doesn't qualify, because all three, what we and you have in common is we have a championship to fall back on. Rangers, Knicks in the 70s, Dodgers, 88, Lakers, and throughout the 2000s and the 80s.
Right.
Cleveland doesn't have any of that.
Right.
That's why it's so, so tough for Cleveland fans. I feel bad for him.
It makes me almost like shiver thinking about Cleveland. It's just wrong for those people. You know, there's people that really, in Cleveland, there's people that really felt that this guy was one of their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, they felt that he was their savior, their sports. Certainly from a sport, you know, you gotta be careful throwing out these words, because, you know, we're not talking about real life, we're talking about sports life. But from a sports life perspective, they saw him as a savior. They saw him as a god. They saw him as their homegrown son. It's not fair. It's fair to leave. I mean, what Griffey did to Seattle was rough, but he made it clear to everyone in Seattle why he wanted to leave. He was freaked out about the Flying after Payne Stewart died. He wanted to get back home, and you had to respect that, you know, and you saw the country respecting it, even though in Seattle it hurt. You saw that people around the country respected that he wanted to get back home, and you saw that he wanted to be, you know, safe, and he was freaked out about Payne Stewart's plane crash. You saw that, and you know, I was mad at Griffey. My answering machine message for about a year said, "You've reached Dan and Rebecca, and if this is Junior, your shit is out of my front lawn." And, you know, that was my answering message for a while. And I was mad at Junior. I felt like he was betraying the city that loved him so much. And I think, honestly, right now, if Junior could go back, I think, I believe this 1,000%, if you had Junior over your house right now, and I have a friend that's actually very good friends with Junior, and I bet I could get my friend to ask him this, and I could get an honest answer. But anyway, if you could get Junior to talk right now, honestly, I bet he would say, his biggest mistake he made in his life was to leave Seattle.
Let's get into baseball slightly. We talked about the AL.
I have to go real quick, baseball. You know, Padilla, I've never seen a guy that throws more curveballs that break 3 feet than this Padilla guy. Are you watching the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's like Magic Mountain with that curveball. It goes up and it comes way down.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, he's really doing a show today against the Cubbies. And, you know, Give him credit.
They've got a 7-zip lead. If he doesn't throw some strikes now, then they should, they're not going to keep him in very long.
Right. But, hey, listen, you know, he's gone, what is it, 6 innings now? 7 innings?
Oh, boy, Jose Pez. I mean, those curveballs break 3 feet.
Pretty insane. I mean, they do go a little slowly and all, but it is that the movement is off the charts in this case. Now, this guy's an enigma to me because he always seems to keep the ball around the plate. But there's going to be some nights where he just doesn't have his stuff. It comes apart, and they'll just absolutely light him up.
Yeah, I remember that about him.
It's pretty crazy that way, but that's just pretty much everybody on the team right now. I mean, the starting staff outside of Kershaw, you can't ever rely on anybody to be consistent night to night, and it's frustrating. I mean, I think the Mets staff may be facing a similar situation. I'm not as close to the Mets as you are, but you know they're pitching well. Although there's certain people that are having their struggles, like Pelfrey, for example, or is it Nice? Is it Nice or Pelfrey who's having a tough time? Right now?
Well, Pelfrey lately has. I mean. Pelfrey went from the golden boy to the not-so-golden boy. So,
yep.
Yes, it's been Pelfrey lately who's been really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I chat on these sites and I talk with buddies and, you know, you get, it's always, you always get the worst, either, you know, you're either the greatest of all time or the worst of all time, and it changes in the course of 2 innings, you know. And that's the world of being a baseball fan. If you're going to be a hardcore fan, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Do I think that Pelfrey has lost all that wonderful mojo he had in the first half? No. Do I think that he's going to be as good as he was at the beginning of the first half? Also no. He's going to be somewhere in between. That's life in the big city. You know, Pelfrey has great stuff. When he commands it properly, you can't hit him. When he doesn't command it properly, you can hit him. And that right there puts him in a league with basically, I would guess, about 60% of the pitchers in baseball right there. I mean, 60%, I would go out on a limb and say this. 60% of the pitchers in baseball have ridiculous stuff. If they command it properly, you can't hit them. If they don't, you can. The other 40% of pitchers in baseball get by on guile, smarts, a knuckleball, a weird trick pitch, whatever it is. That's the other 40%. But 60% of the pitchers in baseball are guys where if they're on, you cannot hit them. You and me could try and hit them. We wouldn't. Major League Baseball players can try and hit them. They can't. Whoever were to get up on the plate and try and hit them cannot hit them. They are unhittable because they have crazy freak arms, and they can throw crazy curveballs or sliders or whatever. And if they are on, you can't hit them. That's about 60% of the pitchers in baseball. The difference between the guys that have 10 wins and 2 wins is how well they control their shit. And to me, that's it. That's basically the summary of 60% of the pitchers in baseball.
I see. And, you know, that's really well put. It's a good analogy as well. So we look at pitching today. First of all, pitching as a whole has obviously been a big part of the game today. I mean, have you noticed how many games are only like 0-0, 1-0, and that's
an unbelievable year for that.
It has been. It's crazy. And you got a feel for the Reds a little bit. And we've been talking about two teams last podcast we did. We talked about two teams, the Reds and the Braves, where we were just a little skeptical about their run. But the
right.
Braves seem to have turned it, seem to have kept it up at least for now, or maybe it's just the Mets. What we're talking, maybe it's just the Mets scenario, and then the Reds, on the other hand, have not. They've been swept in 4 straight by the Phils, all in heartbreaking losses. I think they lost almost all of them by 1 run.
Right. Yeah, unbelievable with the Reds. I guess my feeling is these teams. I thought it would be fun tonight to talk about some of these lineups of these teams because to me, there's an interesting thing going on right now where there's some teams with lineups that you just absolutely can't believe, and then there's a bunch of teams that are getting it done with what I would think of as like mediocre lineups, but just enough pitching.
Yeah.
You know? Now, the Giants are a great example of a team with quite a bit of pitching, and their lineup is a total joke, and I would guess that you and me and a few friends could score damn near as many runs as the Giants. So that's the extreme, right? Or the Mariners, what might be the extreme in the AL, right? Where they have they used to have a little bit of pitching. They lost Lee now. But before losing Lee, the Mariners were the team, they had a little bit of pitching, but such a ridiculous offense where literally like me and a few friends, we could probably get the job done, right? I mean, it's comical.
It is, and the Padres is another example of that. You know, they're just getting just the right bounces to win. Now this team is going to fall off. I don't know if you were among those.
Padres are going to fall off.
They're going to fall off. I think they're going to fall off. I don't know if you were with me on that on the last podcast, but I had a feeling they were going to fall off somehow.
I think the Padres are funky. I think they're funky. I buy the pitching.
Okay.
I'm not sure I buy the offense.
Yep, there it is. And it's so funny because, you know, how is that going to affect Adrian Gonzalez? It was almost a situation where they were going to trade him at the break.
Did not trade him. I hate to break
That's
the
news. That's a tough one.
You might want him, Dave, but you ain't getting him. They're not trading him now.
No. He's staying.
Not if they trade him now. He's the best offensive player on that team, and there's not a close second. Although the team seems to score runs. I mean, it's weird. It's like you've seen those teams. We've seen it in all sports. I mean, where you see a team that just does stuff where you say, it doesn't seem like they have enough players to do that, but yet the players that they have seem to do that. It's like a team thing. The Padres have that going on. The Cardinals. Have you seen this Cardinal offense?
Well, I've seen the Cardinal offense. They have a lot of bright spots. It's interesting to note that for a while, Pujols had been struggling, but he's back on track now, I would say.
Right.
Their offense has never been a problem, I think, and not overall. I mean, it's not been the greatest as compared to previous years, but
right.
It's getting the job done. I give them credit. They get it done in many areas.
Right. So let's run it down. So let's go. NL West. Who do we got? What's your take on the NL West? Who's going to win it? We should run down all three divisions since we've got the All Star break here. Let's run down all three divisions. Who's going to win each division, and then we'll throw in the wild card too.
Okay, well, first of all, we both were on the Giants. We both said the Giants are going to make this run and win the division in the last podcast, so 2 weeks ago.
I think so, still, but their offense is just
so bad.
I hope they get a hitter.
They might. They're trying to go after Corey Hart, which I think is kind of a silly move, but it's better than...
You think San Diego is a paper tiger?
Yes. Oh. Even if they were to make the playoffs, they're going to be the first team swept out. No question. It's like 2005.
A lot of pitching, though. I got this Latos guy in all my fantasy teams. Is it Latos? Latos? I don't know. I'm telling you, he just keeps... Every time he pitches, I look at him the next day on my fantasy team, and I go, oh, he hooked me up again. I think I have him on... I'm in three fantasy leagues, and I think I have him in two of the three, and I should pick him up in the third. He never loses. He's just good. And I'm telling you, and he's not their best pitcher. I mean, San Diego, they just, I don't know what to say about them. They just keep getting it done.
They do.
I agree with you. I think they're a paper tiger. I think the Giants are eventually the class of that division.
Okay.
So they're a freaking fourth place right now.
Well, you know, it's just a lot of things right now. It's scheduling and whatnot. And their offense is a disaster, man. I mean, since that, they had a really tough go of it. They had a really tough series. I think, who was it against? I can't recall. But the Dodgers swept them, I think, right after we did our last podcast. I remember that.
Right.
My feeling is, I think...
I know who they played. They played the freaking Reds.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it the Reds that
they did play the Reds. They did play the Reds, and I think the Reds had the better of them in that series. I'd have to go back.
Who,
and
uh, So in the NL West, I think it's Giants
okay.
in the long run.
I think it's going to be Colorado at this point. They've been playing
really?
Very well.
Interesting.
I think they have a better offensive than the Giants do.
That goes without saying.
They play really hot at home. They've had a lot. Now, comeback wins are not usually going to hold up over the whole season, but they are good. And I think that I think Tulowitzki will eventually come back. So they're doing fine without him right now.
Well, it seems lately, if the Colorado Rockies are down by 5 runs in the 8th inning, they got you right where they want
exactly.
you.
It was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
You gotta love a team that can do that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's remarkable. I mean, they did it back to back nights, no less.
Right. Hey, all right. I'll go with that. All right. So that's a good call. So I got San Francisco. You got Colorado. Make sure you write these down. All right, Dave.
All righty. Colorado here. San Francisco there.
You have San Francisco. You have Colorado going at the end of the season. All right. Let's go to the NL Central. What do we got there?
I'm still saying I'm going to stay with the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I guess I have to go with. I'm going to go with the Reds just to fight you off.
Okay.
So we can go a different way. I'll be like the Mad Dog here, Mike Francesa. You know, give you a little fighting you off a little bit.
All right, the black hat with Welsh.
The black hat with Welsh.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Cincinnati Reds. But honestly, If I had to put my money on it, I'd go with St. Louis. I think they're both very good teams. Now Milwaukee's in third place, and Milwaukee's a joke. They're done. I would almost give Chicago a better chance of making a run at this than Milwaukee. Milwaukee has their pitching has not been pathetic. To call their pitching pathetic is to be unfair to just pathetic pitching. That's how bad it's really bad.
I mean, I saw the Giants play them. They look like world beaters against the Milwaukee Brewers.
I mean, Milwaukee is a joke.
Yeah.
They are a joke. It's a horrible... The concept that they had, which was so nice, where they had a little bit of pitching and they had all this offense, now they have no pitching. I haven't seen my doctor all that much lately. I'm in pretty good shape. I don't have to deal with it too much, but once in a while, you know... I saw my doctor this year. He said, he's from Milwaukee. He said, what are we doing? What is happening? He buys the package like I do. Like, you buy the package, right, Dave? You have the MLB extra inning?
I do. It's a great package, and I love it.
He buys it because of his Brewers. And he said, I can't even watch. He said, I can't even pick a day to watch. These pitchers, there's not even a pitcher I can watch. And that's how bad it's become. They don't even have an ace. Their ace is a joke. They can't even. So, you know, to me, Cincinnati and St. Louis are the best two teams. You want to flip a coin, you could go either one. I probably agree with you that St. Louis is the better team, but I'll go Cincinnati just so we can go head-to-head.
All right, so you say Cincy, I say St. Louis. Very good. NL East.
NL East, right.
Ah, wow. You know, I think I'll stick with my original beginning of the year prediction. I guess I'll say Atlanta.
Like Atlanta at the beginning of the season?
You may have to check the thread. I did post my predictions.
I might have to check the thread.
Okay, look, it's going to either be Philly or... I like the Mets. The Mets have good pitching. They got a lot of things coming together. It's not disparaging the Mets. I think even the Mets might even get the wild card. But... it's tough.
I hate to break the news here.
All right.
All the Mets fans,
mm-hmm.
I'm an optimistic Mets fan.
Okay.
Philly is a half a game behind the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
One half. Philly has had an abortion of a first half. And that's being kind. I mean, they have had maybe the worst, most injury-plagued, screwed up, no one even knows which direction to look, first half, that I've ever seen the team have. And they are half a game behind the Mets. Now, I want to be an optimistic Mets fan. And I am an optimistic Mets fan. And I just want to enjoy my season. Even if my team loses, we talked about this in the last podcast, it's all about enjoying the season and not necessarily winning and losing. If you lose, you deal with it. You know, I just want to have my little fun, watch my team play, and do my little thing. But it's come to my attention, the Phillies are only a half a game behind the Mets. And they had the worst first half I could ever imagine. I see the Phillies winning the division. I know it sounds screwed up. They have Roy freaking Halladay. He wins every time he pitches. So one out of every five, they win. They have Jamie Moyer, who is a fossil, but I'm telling you, I rooted for him in Seattle, and I'm happy to, I'm not rooting for him again, but I'm happy to understand that he's great. He can get it done. He knows how to pitch. Phillies are winning that division.
All right.
Crazy. Well, I hate it. I hate it. I wish I would say something else, but Phillies are winning that division.
Well, you know, it's a good pick. They got the experience as well, and they do have a certain...
It's a mush here, Dave. You see what I'm doing?
Yeah, I think an intentional mush, but you got to be careful with those intentional mushes. They don't always work. I tried that before.
I know.
Doesn't always work.
You can't just mush everything and expect it all to work out.
Exactly.
But the point I'm trying to make, though, is it's not like they're 10 games back. Mm-hmm. So, like, people have been like, oh, well, Philly's all fucked up this year. Oh, yeah, they're all fucked up. Guess what? They're a half a back of the freaking Mets, and they're only four games back of the fucking... Of the Braves. I mean, they are good.
Yeah.
And they had a horrible first half. They had, if you could have said how bad could the first half be to the Phillies, and you told them it would be this bad, they would have said, no way, it couldn't be this bad. And that's how bad it was, and now it's second half time, and they're only four games out.
Pretty crazy.
I still think it's Phillies. I hate to say it. I'll give the Mets the wild card, but all right, let's go. Let's move on.
Okay, so wild card, you said Mets?
Just because I'm a Mets fan, I'll be nice. Yeah, I'll go wild card. So we went, I went SF, you went Colorado, I went Cincinnati, you went St. Louis, I went Philly, you went Atlanta, and now wild card, I'm going Mets, and you're going...
I'm going to go Mets, too. May as well.
All right. Good.
May as well. I guess it could be the Phillies, because I do think there are a lot of qualities to them, but they're pitching after you get past Halladay.
Halladay's unbelievable. You're right. After that, it is weak.
It's not that good, but more importantly, the offense is not... I don't know if they're going to recover from that bad start. And Chase Utley's still out. He hasn't come back yet. Now, you know, he probably will eventually.
Rollins just came back, though. I mean, you're right, though. I mean... At least the best offensive player on that freaking team. I don't want to hear about Ryan Howard and hits a million home runs. Utley is a better offensive player.
Well, he's a better all around player, I think. He can do
a
lot of things. He's a very good player.
What do we got?
All right, AL. You know, I cringe whenever I go through the AL East because I get all the hype. From, you
know, it's hard.
You know what I mean?
You gotta bite your tongue a little bit, but yeah. Go ahead. You know you want to say it.
That's a tough one, I guess. I said Rays, but the Rays are disaster. Well, the Rays have been playing better.
That is not bad. They
lost one today. So I guess, you know what? You know. The Yankees are currently ahead in the race, right? They're ahead of the...
Yankees are 56-32. Yep. Rays are 54-34, two games back.
You know,
best record in the AL, not in first place. So the Rays are the wild card right now, and it's not close. I mean, they're four games up on it.
Well, I can say this: I know that whoever that the second place team in that AL East is going to get the wild card.
The wild card, yeah. Period.
So let's say that I'm going to just say, for the sake of discussion, I'm going to stick with the at this point. Okay, we're just making the point from the second point on. All right, Yankees are going to win the division. I couldn't believe I'm going to say that. It hurts to say, but they are going to win the division.
Rays
will be the wild card.
Oh, you said Yanks. All right, I'll go same as you. I say Yanks win the division, and I say Rays are the wild card. I thought that when the year started. I think I said that in the last podcast, and I'll stick with that.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so let's move on to another division.
All right, let's go.
How much more geeks can we talk, right? Let's go to the AL Central.
We both have Yanks, Rays in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I like the Red Sox, too. I'm not saying they're not a good team.
No, I think they're toast.
Well, they have a lot of problems right now. I think that, you know, their bullpen has its own issues. you can't say that their lineup has been as fierce as it used to be.
Too many injuries.
Yeah, it's too many injuries. You know, Victor Martinez is in and out. I mean, I don't even know if they got back, if let's see. I don't even know if Pedroia's back yet. You know, that was a pretty gnarly foot problem I think he had.
Right. No, they're all screwed up. They have too many injuries. I don't buy it. I don't see how they get it done. I think they reload and get back to business next year. That's me.
I think you're right about that. So AL Central, I'll be very brief about this. I've liked the Twins throughout the first half of the season, but I do think that the Detroit Tigers are coming on strong. I always pick the Tigers to win the division anyway. They went into this game today with a 5-game winning streak. Now, they did lose, but that was a great series for the Tigers against the Minnesota Twins. And that's important because they usually have lost those series against the Twins. Now they're winning those series. That's a good sign. I think the Tigers hold on and win this division.
I think that this, and I've been thinking, you know, when we talked about doing this podcast, and I thought about going around the league kind of thing, I really thought a lot about this Tigers team. Let me tell you, this Tiger team, it's unbelievable. This is a lineup. I'm stunned by how good this lineup is. I really mean that. I mean, the Tiger lineup and the Twins lineup, too, for that matter, these are two lineups. And I was thinking we would do a little segment today, and we never got it. And I never communicated this, but I thought it would be cool to do a little, like, you know, lineups that scare you, you know, and lineups that don't scare you kind of trip, you know. Let me tell you, this Tigers lineup, this is a scary lineup, man. They have so much juice between Cabrera, Jackson, you got Johnny Damon. You got Ordonez. You got this Bosch guy. That Tiger lineup is absolutely scary. I can't believe how much they hit. I'm actually surprised they're not further ahead in the division than they are.
Well, they had a mountain to climb, though. That's the problem. They did fall behind because they were initially out of the box. They were not great. They were more or less a 500
team. They didn't have a lot of pitching early on.
Yeah, they're pitching. They're still trying to. They're still trying to map it up a little bit. You know, they got areas where they excel. Their bullpen's better than it used to be, but that's going to always be their problem. Their pitching is not going to be, you know, amazing. Let's say
right.
So that, I think that's the only thing about their pitching.
Okay. I'm telling you, there are very few lineups in baseball. Here, this is an interesting, we should go quick around the league about this. Lineups that scare you.
Well, okay, name some lineups that scare you since we have the luxury of time.
So, real quick, lineups that scare me. I'm going to go number one, Yankees.
Okay.
Number two, Tigers. I'm going to go number two. Tigers are the second scariest lineup. I'm going to go number three, Rangers, although you could put the Rangers number two probably because they are right there with the Tigers. But that first five with the Tigers is so nasty. And then Minnesota, unbelievable first five, unbelievable first four in Minnesota lineup, or first six, really, because you get down to Gadier and those guys. Those lineups are lineups that really, I think, to me, those are lineups I don't want to pitch to. I don't want to deal with, you know what? Those are lineups I really don't want to pitch to in a big spot. And I think that's what the idea of a really scary, scary lineup is all about.
All right, and my feared lineups, I think Yankees are in the mix. You certainly have to go with the Detroit Tigers. I've been a big fan of the Twins lineup. They're not quite like a menace.
I know what you mean. It's not like scary, but putting Orlando Hudson in there does help. That makes him a little tougher.
I think so. But it's a deep lineup, though. That's the difference. I mean, none of those guys will quit on you. That's
right.
The difference. There's no automatic out in that lineup.
Right. A great point.
So it's really interesting to watch them play, too.
Who's the lineup you don't want to see in the NL? I mean, obviously, St. Louis is a no-brainer, but who are the lineups in the NL, like, you when coming to L.A. that you don't want to see?
You know, it's a tougher question because none of the lineups have the same impact, you know?
It's different in the NL.
It's
a little bit different.
And I forgot
the actually, especially if Beltran comes back strong, the Mets have a decent, you know, a quote, scary lineup. But except for that, I mean, you got the Cardinals. Who else scares you in the NL?
Well, let's see. I think the Marlins do. Because they have their issues with strikeouts. They have the potential to really pile on runs, and they did last week.
Ooh. Yeah.
But so the Marlins, I go Cardinals. I would go. I guess you can say if everybody was healthy, the Phillies obviously would be on that list.
Well, yeah, but they're all weird right now. You can't even. They're like one of those teams you have to kind of almost write off for the, you know, like ignore them right now because it's just too weird. They're not right. But yeah, when they're right, they're good. And actually. You know, they're all these guys are more screwed up than anyone. But the Brewers, when they're right, are a scary lineup.
Yeah, they have been for years.
You don't even know what to make of them because you can score 50 runs off of them. They don't have a pitcher.
Yeah, that's your thing. So that's why it's always a little harder to come up with these lineups in the NL because there's always something. Somebody gets hurt or there's somebody missing. It's crazy, but. Those are my lineups. And then the Tampa Bay Rays lineup, I forgot to mention. One of the most feared lineups.
That's a good lineup. You know, I think their pitching is more important to their overall success. But, yeah, I mean, they do have a good lineup. I mean, I actually am more in touch with them than I am with a lot of teams, only because I live in Florida and I get a lot of those games.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy, I have a very good friend that's, you know, a bass player I play with that is actually a world-class bass player that I'm so lucky that will come down and play with me from time to time when I can get him down for a couple days. And he's from Tampa, and he follows them hard, so we talk them a lot when he's around, which is cool, you know, because it gives me a little perspective and gives me a little, you know, get the local. Yeah, I always love that local perspective. Someone that follows the team every day, you know, like he's there. He's into it. He's not just like, you know, he's there every single day. He follows every game, you know. I like that. And so, you know, he talks about them a lot. And of course, he bitches about their lineup because he's, you know, if you're following a team, of course, you're always looking at the worst side of it. But you know that you're right though. But I don't know that they qualify as scary. I'm talking about scary lineups. I would say the scary lineups in baseball, I wouldn't put them there.
Okay, that's fine. But let's
I mean, they're a good team. I would, scary lineups in baseball, I would go Yanks. If I had to go scary lineups in baseball, I'd go Yanks, Detroit, Mini, Texas, not L.A.,
No. Good call on your part not doing that.
Mets, if they get right, I wouldn't give it to them right now. Philly has a scary lineup if they're right, which they aren't right now. I'm not giving it to Florida. Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Colorado, kind of.
I don't even think Colorado and Cincinnati qualify. Cincinnati, you got enough people. Roland's out, by the way.
Roland alone is scary, but Cincinnati's weird. I don't know.
I can't pick them on the list.
Here's my question to you, Dave. And I'm up in the air on this, but in my own head, do you buy Cincinnati?
I don't know. I can't completely buy them because. You know, they are in some ways they're a young team. In some ways, obviously they have some veterans too.
Well, not that many, like a Rowan and a Arroyo, yeah. And a couple of other guys.
But they're still
pretty young. Basically.
Yeah, they are a very young team and they're untested. I think tonight this series with the Philadelphia Phillies kind of showed that they're not ready for prime time. They're having a great year.
Right.
But I just can't buy them.
And I hate to say this because you know I hate to bash. Guys like this, because I know people love them. I think Lou Piniella is the worst manager in all of baseball, and I know people hate to hear that, and I always get people that give me shit about that, but I think Lou Piniella is a total joke. and it's because I lived in Seattle all those years. But Dusty Baker, to me, is also like one of the biggest jokes in all of baseball. Like, I honestly believe, except for the fact that I won't wear wristbands and I didn't play Major League Baseball, I could be a better manager than Dusty Baker tomorrow. Like, I honestly believe that. And that's not even exaggerating when I say I believe that. I really believe that. I think he's a total clown. And, you know, guys like that, that makes me doubt the team a little more.
Yeah. No, you're very well said. It's I mean, the proof's in the pudding with him. I can't ever trust his management style, and you will not. I talk with Giant fans a lot of the time.
They know.
There are moments where they just flat out could not trust that guy's decisions. I mean, who bats a guy who pinch hits for a, or who lets the pitcher bat in a critical division series game against the Mets?
Terrible.
It's just, it's unbelievable.
He's terrible. He's one of the, I think Lou Piniella, I think if you were to put together Lou Piniella and Dusty Baker's bad moves, and you know, every, that's the thing that's tricky, is like, every fan thinks that their manager is horrible and they made horrible moves, so, you know, there's that whole thing, you know. But I honestly believe that Piniella / Baker are two of the worst managers in the history of baseball. And I you know, I lived through Piniella through Seattle all those years, and I've had plenty of friends of mine from Seattle say, like, dude, you are totally giving Piniella the wrong rap. He won the World Series with Cincy, but, you know, with Cincinnati in 90, and you're totally being unfair and all that. I understand. I just think he's terrible. I'm just going with my own eyes, and that's all I can go by.
Yeah, no, I think you're with you that. Now, this is Dan Heck from Naples, Florida, here in the City Locks League Radio. I'm Dave Medina. And one last prediction we almost forgot, the AL West. And there's a good reason we forgot, because it's just not that good of a division.
Because it sucks. All right, so let's get into it. The AL West. Jeez. I mean, I'm for those that don't know, and Dave knows, you know, Dave, me and Dave, you and I have spoken about this in the past. I'm from Seattle. I can't say I'm from Seattle, because I'm really not. I grew up in New York, but I lived in Seattle for 10 years, and the Griffey, A-Rod, Edgar Martinez years, and when the team went from horrible to good. And so I'm still a Seattle, you know, I have some of the Seattle thing at heart. What the GM for the Mariners wanted to do was, I think admirable, which was save money on big offensive players. And I don't think that's a bad idea. I actually think his concept is not necessarily bad. It didn't work this year, but here's the concept. So I'll tell everyone, just in case there's anyone that doesn't know. Is that okay, Dave? Run down the...
All right, that's fine.
I'm just... Real quick, the Mariners concept was defense, speed, pitching, not a lot of offense. And the concept was you save a lot of money because you're not paying for the big money that offense charges, because obviously offensive players in baseball are more expensive, and you save the money on the offensive players, but you get great defensive players, which they have, and then pitching, you spend the money on pitching, which is expensive, and you try and win the championship that way. So that's what the Mariners concept was, which is beautiful. I think it could work. I really believe that it could work. Did it work this year? No, it was a total calamity. It was kind of a total joke, and it failed miserably. So right now, the Mariners, I'm looking at the standings right now. The Mariners 35-53, last place. They are 19 games out of first place. Texas is in first place. And you know what? I'm happy for Texas.
Okay.
You know, they were our rival in the mid-90s when I was living in Seattle. They would remember Gonzalez? Remember
Juan Gonzalez, yeah?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, he hit the ball a mile.
Well, anyway, do you think that Texas will hold on and win the division?
Okay, we'll cut to the chase here. I think Texas, with the acquisition of Cliff Lee, I think the Mariners have given up completely. I think Oakland doesn't have enough juice. It's basically a two-team race, Texas-LA, and I'm going to say Texas with the acquisition of Lee. I think they get it done. What do you think, Dave?
I think they get it done, too. I felt this way for a couple weeks, and having Lee, I think it ices it. This is a good move for them to make. I know he didn't have a good start.
Here's the question. Do you think they can advance in the playoffs?
I don't know. It depends on how... Let's say yes. I say they can.
Who's the number two pitcher? They have Cliff Lee. Who's their two? In the playoffs. I'm not trying to be mightier than now, because I don't know either. I'm asking, do we know? Who's the number two pitcher for Texas?
Well, I guess you could go with any of their young guys. Let's look into that for a second. So I'm looking.
I don't know either, so I'm not trying to call you out. I'm asking. I'm literally asking. Who is it? We got Cliff Lee. Now Cliff Lee's obviously the number one, right? They got the Tommy Hunter guy. He has a good ERA. He's 5.0, .234.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters at this point. I mean, they've been whoever they got is good enough. I know Millwood's not what he used to be.
Yeah, Millwood. Yeah, it's not the guy you want. But the point is, I think with Lee, I think they can do it. Why not? I mean, put it this way: the Angels are a shadow of the team they were 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, that team we grew up with as a great team. They're not that team anymore, right?
Right, right. But they can get it done. I absolutely agree. So, I guess let's just go with the Rangers, and you know, we can save our breath on the rest of the division. I think we'll be in good shape. Will they advance? Yeah, I think they have a chance. I mean, with Cliff Lee, I mean, the Phillies basically did that. Hamels was a wreck at the time, and you know that the other guys are pretty much touch and go sometimes. They could be hot and cold, so...
Right.
I think it's possible. I think it's absolutely possible. All right, so that pretty much wraps it up for predictions, second half of the season.
We did second half. We did LeBron. We did World Cup. What else can we do? I mean, that's it.
I think we're all set to go. All right, man. Dan?
The Dodgers are up 7-0 in the eighth inning, Dave. I mean, this is like a great night for you, my friend. This is like you kicking ass all around.
Hey, it's all good. It's all looking pretty good right now. And so, again, thanks for coming on here. It's really good to have you aboard. And, again, best of luck to you again in your Jazz ventures. Hopefully you'll have more of these great...
I appreciate that very much.
No problem. And, well, I hope everything goes well for you in other areas, too. And until then, I guess we'll talk soon. So long for now.
Been my pleasure, Dave, as always.
Dan Heck from Naples joining us here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. Well, that's our show, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've had a great time listening to this podcast. And, well, I'm going to be on vacation this week, so we'll reconvene next week about this time. And so enjoy the sports. Well, in the meanwhile, there's going to be a little bit of a lull in the sports schedule, but hopefully you'll get by. And until then... just be good to yourselves, and we'll see you next time.